All right, we are in Isaiah chapter 57, and look down in your Bibles at verse 19. It says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And there you go. The title of the sermon this evening is No Peace on Earth to the Wicked. No peace on earth to the wicked. Now, one of the main concepts that is promoted throughout the Christmas season, obviously, is this matter of peace, right? In fact, this is something we often hear throughout the Christmas season from November going in through December all the way to the very end. And this is one of the more popular messages that our culture seems to promote. And to be honest with you, it really does have a positive effect on the population. It has a really good positive effect on the culture. You know, people tend to be more kind, right? When you are out and about and you're doing your Christmas shopping, or you're out doing your grocery shopping, or just out in public for whatever reason, people seem to be more kind, they're more patient, they happen to be more loving, and people often become more reflective, more grateful of what they have. So they call it the spirit of Christmas, the Christmas season, where people who are typically grumps and they're mean and they're rude and they're jerks kind of just take the season to just be nice and kind. And this is the effect that the world has when they promote this type of a peace. They tend to be more gleeful and joyous, okay? How many know what I'm talking about? You know, you go to restaurants, you say, no, someone cut me off in the freeway today and gave me the bird. That's not quite applicable to me. Well, I'm just talking about in general, okay? In general, you know, my wife was just telling me that when she went to the grocery store, she takes all the kids with her, and, you know, a lot of people were just being extra kind to her. They're just being a lot more nicer and just kind of more joyful, seeming to reflect on children. And just, it's kind of more of a family-oriented type of season, you know, where like, I want to spend time with my family. I want to reflect. I want to be grateful for what I have. And, you know, at the surface, that seems pretty good. It's like, well, you know, hey, if that creates that type of attitude, you know, all the better, right? But the reality is that is often short-lived, is it not? Because once the new year rolls around, people go back to being people, okay? You know, once the Christmas tree is dead, they throw it in the trash can on January 1st, you know, the Christmas lights come down for some people. I've known some people that keep Christmas lights up until like Easter or something. They got their Christmas decorations up and they keep them up forever throughout the year. But, you know, the new year rolls around and, you know, they get rid of all the decorations, the Christmas tree, the lights. And it's almost as if everything, even including the spirit of peace, goes out the window. They're no longer joyful. They become jerks again. People become people, and that's just the way of the world, okay? And why is that? Well, because of the fact that the peace that they often promote and bolster is a superficial peace. It's a temporary peace that is meant to satisfy the senses through music, through food and friendships. And, you know, these Christmas movies that come out that give all these people these warm, fuzzy feelings inside, and it makes them feel more grateful, whatever. And, you know, once the new year comes around, everything just goes out the window and people go back to being people. Why is that? Well, the Bible tells us that there is no peace, save my God, to the wicked. So they can think they have peace. They can have peace for a season. They can be kind to their neighbors in the month of December. They can smile and be grateful and, you know, have all this, you know, superficial peace. But at the end of the day, it doesn't last very long, okay? Now, let that be said of the world, though, right? It should not be said of us as Christians that peace is a temporary thing that we have, that we only become very grateful and Christ-like during the month of Christmas or during the Christmas season. We should be like this 365 days out of the year. We should act Christ-like throughout the year, be Christ-like, be grateful, be joyous, be generous, because that's who we are, right? We're supposed to be Christians. But the Bible tells us that there is no peace to the wicked. It's fake. It's made up, it's superficial, you know, and it has no substance. It's vain, it's empty, and it's seasonal. Go to Luke chapter number 2, if you would. Luke chapter number 2. But where do they get this from, you know? Well, they get it from the Bible. They get it from Luke chapter 2, but they put a twist to it, okay? And you know what? I mean, thank God that people think about Christ more throughout Christmas, even those who are not saved. And thank God for that. But if we were to really go, if we were really to dig down deep into this concept, we would soon realize that this is not the actual peace of God that passeth understanding. This is not the peace of God where we're reconciled back into the Lord. This is a peace where they want to basically get along with everyone, goodwill toward men, between themselves, and it's not the biblical peace that we see in the Bible. Look at Luke chapter 2. This is the Christmas story here in verse number 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The world takes that and says, all right, guys, it's time to compromise. It's time to get all the religions together. It's time to get along with anyone and everyone from whatever religious background. It's time to have goodwill towards one another. But this is not what the Bible's teaching us. The peace on earth is not referring to the fact that we get along. We're going to kumbaya. We're going to have a Rodney King ministry where we all just get along. This is not what this is referring to. The goodwill is not the fact that you have goodwill towards your fellow man. No, in fact, this is peace on earth that God brings through Jesus Christ. Amen. To be reconciled unto God. And the goodwill is this, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance so that they could be saved. Okay? But the world capitalizes on this concept and twists and perverts it to mean something completely different, to give them that warm, fuzzy feeling. And this is a superficial peace that is not biblical. It's a worldly twist that replaces the biblical concept of this. Go to John chapter 14, if you would, John chapter 14. And look, if this peace was the peace of God, then why are people drinking during the Christmas season, right? That's how they get their peace. Their peace stems from alcohol and getting inebriated during the holiday season to forget their sorrows. They get their little wine glasses, and they try to get, you know, inebriated and drunk so they can just mellow out a little bit and get peaceful. You know, some people can't be peaceful without alcohol. Some people actually need to do substance abuse and drink alcohol in order to just be normal, unfortunately. You know, that's it's sad, really. You know, these people are enslaved by sin, and to them, having a peaceful night is having a six-pack next to them with their kids running around while they're drinking, listening to some song, some sad song or whatever from the past, and they consider that to be peaceful, but that's not peaceful. You know, peace is that which God gives to us through Jesus Christ when we get saved, amen? We're reconciled back into God. But even then, after that, we need the peace of God that passeth understanding when we're going through trials and tribulations, when we're going through financial difficulties or health problems, and we can't seem to change the circumstances around us. What do? We pray. We thank God. We, you know, entreat him with supplications and thanksgiving. And the Bible tells us that he gives us the peace that passeth understanding. He gives us the tranquility of mind that God is still in control. This world is not my home. And it's not the peace that the world gives. The world's peace stems from you changing your circumstances, making sure you get paid more, making sure that you have the kind of house that you want, the possessions and the vehicle that you want, the type of money you want, the type of woman you want, the type of man you want. It's changing your situation. That's not the way God provides peace. You know, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, the Bible says. Look at John 14. Let's look at the peace of the world. Look at John 14, 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Go to Jeremiah chapter 6. So Jesus says, hey, I'm leaving you with peace, but don't get it twisted. It's not the same peace that the world gives, because the world is offering peace. But this peace that the world is offering is a fake peace. It's a superficial peace. There's peace right now, okay, during the Christmas season. You know, people have a tendency to take it a little slower. They become more grateful and generous. but it's short-lived, okay? We should be generous all the time. We should be grateful all the time. We should be, you know, kind and loving towards people all the time, okay? Now, how is this peace promoted? What's promoted through the world's prophets, okay? Look at Jeremiah 6, verse 11. It says, "Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord." Man, this is not good. He's saying, I'm just going to just destroy everything. I'm going to destroy everyone and everything. You guys are going to face the judgment of God, right? Verse 13, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." So God's going to judge them for being covetous. That's one of the things they're being judged for. They're given over to covetousness. Now today, during the Christmas season, why do people think they have peace? Because of the fact they have possessions. They're getting gifts, right? It's like, as long as I get these gifts, I'll be happy. As long as I get Santa provides these gifts, I'll be happy. I'll be peaceful. You're given over to covetousness. This is not what the Christmas season is about. And he says in verse 14, "They have healed also the hurt of my daughter, of my people, slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Hey, peace doesn't come when you get what you want as far as material possession is concerned. Peace does not come when you fulfill your lusts of material wealth and riches and finances. It doesn't come through those avenues. Yeah, it does for me. Then guess what? You get the peace of the world, but it's only seasonal. Because once the money runs out, once the toy breaks down, once the car is impounded, once you no longer have those toys and they no longer have the luster that it used to have, you no longer have that peace. Whereas the peace of God is with you whether you have the possessions or not. You see, the peace that the world provides is a superficial peace that means nothing, and it's based upon what you have and what you don't have, right? Go to Jeremiah chapter number 8. "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." Buy these Nike sneakers. You know, they play Christmas music. You ever go to the mall and they're playing Christmas music and they put these people in a good mood and they're just like, as they're buying all kinds of stuff for themselves and just living it up and being covetous and envious of all window shopping. "Oh, holy night." I know, this is great. I feel so peaceful. As they're carrying out like 10 bags for themselves, their Gucci and their, you know, Prada or whatever. I don't know the brands. I just know Gucci. You know, this is a fake peace. Yep. Now look, if you have nice things, okay, you know, that's fine. But here's the thing. You better not be basing your peace off of whether you have that thing or not. Amen. Ask yourself this. What if that's like taken away from you today? Would you still have peace? You know, would you still be kind and loving and generous and joyful if you didn't have those things? See, that's a slight peace, right? It's a deceitful peace that has no substance. Look at Jeremiah 8, verse 10. "Therefore will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Reiterating what he said there in Jeremiah chapter 6. Now notice he says, they have healed the hurt of my people slightly. So what does that mean? The people are hurting. But what do they do to heal them? They provide a superficial healing. A superficial peace. A quick fix. The bottle. Marijuana. You know, worldly music. Whatever it is, they're just healing themselves slightly. It has no substance, okay? Go with me, if you would, to Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59. What am I saying? You know, the world has its prophets. Who are the prophets that promote this peace? You know, it's called, you know, the mall. It's called stores. It's called the industry that tries to promote, this is what you need, which, by the way, you didn't know you needed it until you saw it. Right? Like, oh, yeah, I do need one. How does it work, though? Right? It's called the music artist, Mariah Carey. All these wicked artists that capitalize on the Christmas season to make their stupid Christmas CD so they can sell more albums to stupid Christians who are willing to buy them and listen to them. You know, they can't even, it's like, you know, they sing Oh Holy Night and it takes like 50 minutes to finish the song because they're sliding all over. They're like, oh, holy night. You know what I'm talking about. Night. It's like, they pervert these songs. But what are they doing it for? They're doing it to give you a false sense of peace. Oh, this is beautiful. Even Mariah Carey is recognizing Jesus as a savior. She's a whore. I was about to say sorry to break it to you, but I'm not sorry. You know, this is the these are the false prophets of this world who try to promote this false way of peace. And by the way, let me just get on this music thing for a second. There's this girl out there that is really popular right now. She's probably been popular for a while, but I just found out about her. Her name is Billie Eilish. How many know who I'm talking about? This girl is a just straight satanic, wicked woman. And any Christian who listens to her is not right with God. Amen. And by the way, parents, you better watch out. You better pay attention to what your kids are listening to. Amen. Especially if they're listening to Billie Eilish. You know, what's wrong with Billie Eilish? She came out with this song called Bad Guy. Okay, and in this song, Bad Guy, well, you know, she's just a teenager, just makes cool songs for the teenagers, and, you know, it's just, they're just, you know, it's harmless. No, it's satanic. Yeah. She literally calls herself the bad, I think, let me get the chorus right. She says she's a bad guy. She says she's the type who will seduce your dad type. Oh, yeah, that's very becoming to a young lady who's 17 years old. She's like, she said, I'm the bad type, the kind that will seduce your dad type. Yeah, disgusting, filthy. Amen. And look, young girls are listening to this wicked woman, Billie Eilish, you know, who has all these subliminal messages in her music, promoting this wicked garbage. And look, folks, look, you better check your kids' phones. Amen. Oh, you know, I see them bobbing their heads and stuff, but it's probably, you know, it's wicked. It's probably what it is. Check the phones. Well, I don't really like to invade my child's privacy. They live under your roof. What are you talking about? They should have no privacy other than when they use the restroom or whatever, you know? Wake up. And I don't know. I don't know if she came out with the Christmas CD or not, but regardless if she did or not, she's wicked as hell. She is wicked as hell. She even has a song like praising Lucifer. Like the Lucifer is in the title. You know, being sympathetic towards Lucifer. She's wicked. I'll get on her next week or something, but I just want to mention that. Look at Isaiah 59 verse 8. It says, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. What is he saying? You're not going to know the true peace. Okay? You know, we got to make sure that we as Christians are not fooled by the peace of this world. We need actual peace is what we need. All right? Now, what kind of peace does the world have to offer? What are the conditions to this type of peace? Go to Matthew chapter number 10, if you would. Well, number one, it's the aggregation of religious beliefs. So they'll say this, hey, peace, okay, folks, if you want peace, all religions, we all have to kind of coexist a little bit. We got to make sure we get along with the Muslims. We got to make sure we get along with the Mormons. You know, if they have a different Jesus than you, hey, don't criticize them for doing that. Don't criticize the Muslims because their founder was a pedophile. Don't criticize the Mormons because they're all about polygamy. You know, don't criticize any other religion. We should all just coexist. How many seen that sticker, coexist? First of all, I'm not coexisting with any fag. Most fags are the ones who are actually putting that sticker on their stupid car. Okay? I don't want to coexist with other religions. I don't want to coexist with other religions. I don't want to agree with them. I don't want to tolerate them. I want to preach against them. And I want to rescue those who are, you know, duped and deceived by these religions, and I want to win them to Christ is what I want to do. Well, hey, that's not very peaceful. Hey, I am for peace, but when they speak, they are for war. That's what the Bible says, you know. And we can't be these Christians like, well, you know, we all got to get along, Rodney King style, let's be peaceful. No, the Bible says that we're in a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle that must be fought spiritually, and there is no peace aside from God. And look, guys, there's never going to be peace on this earth until the millennial reign. Right? Because how do you get peace on earth? By plucking out the wicked. That's how you get it. You have to pluck away the wicked. Jesus Christ has to be ruling and reigning, putting criminals to death, plucking away the wicked, taking away the dross from the silver, the wicked from before the king, in order for the kingdom to be established in righteousness. So we can have an abundance of peace, the Bible says. That's the only way we're going to have peace. So it's unrealistic to think that we're ever going to have peace this side of eternity. Now look, obviously we can have individual peace. We can have spiritual unity at our church. We can have peace amongst ourselves. We can try to live peaceably as much as we can with one another. But at the end of the day, we're not going to establish peace on this earth. Sorry, Jeff Durbin. You know, he's like, oh, we're going to take over the government. We're going to take over politics. And we need to permeate every aspect of society so we can Christianize the world and usher in the millennial reign. Yeah, you want to usher in the Antichrist reign is what you want to do. That's not the way it works. You know, people want to say, well, in order for us to have peace, we all got to get along. You know, we got to have the Kanye West type of religion. Okay, where he's married to some Greek Orthodox or Armenian Orthodox whore, okay? He claims to believe in Christ, but she's over here baptizing her babies. And they're all fine with it. Let's look what the Bible says. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 34. Think not, verse 34 says, that I am come to send peace on earth. Whoa. Hold on a second. You're messing up the vibe here. We want peace on earth. Well, then you're thinking wrong. You're not thinking rightly. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Amen. That sounds kind of violent. That sounds kind of like you're trying to be divisive. Yep. Well, that's what a sword does. It divides. Yep. It slices, right? For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Man. And the daughter against her mother. So what is he saying? He's basically saying, look, I'm here to make sure that you make a choice. Yep. Me or your family. Right. Me or your wife. Me or your husband. Me or your children. Me or your job. Me or your family. Whoever it is. It's either me or it's not. We need to love Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Now, thank God we don't have to really make that choice very often as far as, you know, if they're in church with us, they can love God with us. But even if they are in church, even if they are serving God, we are still to love God more, right? Right. He says, this is what I come to do. I mean, look, folks, there's a reason why God says, my name is what? Jealous. Yep. I mean, that's jealousy right there at its finest. To set variance, I mean, a father and daughter, this is like, Kyla? Like, Jesus is setting is dividing us and saying, hey, you better love me more than you love Kyla. Yeah, that's what he means. Yeah, right. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, that's what the Bible's telling us to do. Against her, the daughter against her mother. This next one is not very hard, okay? And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. It's just, some things are just natural. No, I'm just kidding. I always got to say that when I read this verse because I always laugh when I read that, okay? People are like, I didn't need a sword for that one. I got that one down before I was a Christian. No, I'm just kidding. Verse 36, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. There's people who felt like that, right? I'm sure you felt like that before when you feel like, man, I feel like my family has turned against me, you know? And this is the type of sword that Jesus Christ brings. This is the kind of division that he can bring. You know, where he divides you and your family, where your family forsakes you, where they disassociate themselves from you. They don't want nothing to do with you because you're too zealous for the Lord. You're a fool for Christ's sake. And they're like, I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't want to be around you. And it doesn't hurt a little bit. But you know when it hurts, you know what it does? We experience the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Then we feel a little bit what Christ felt when he was rejected of his own, when he was forsaken even of his Father, right? You know, we are sentient beings that feel pain when those whom we love separate from us. But you know what? What is it that separated us? It was that sword that set at variance, right? Hey, if it's like that with family, how much more should it be like that for religions? You know, oh man, I know someone who's just, he's a Catholic and just, you know, he's just stuck in his ways and he doesn't want to. And well, you know, here's the thing. Either win him to Christ or stop hanging out with him, being buddy buddies with him. If he's out there drinking alcohol, he's smoking weed, he's doing his Catholic thing or whatever, and he's unwilling to adhere to the instruction of the Word of God on how to get saved, then, you know, at that point, there's variance there. That's what the Bible does. So, well, no, we need to get along with Catholics. No, we don't. We want to get along with them so we can win them over. We want to get along with people of different religions so we can win them over, but what they're referring to is a tolerance. Right. Well, you believe in Jesus somehow, you know. You believe in you, it's somewhat of a Jesus. I mean, it's kind of like basically the same thing. No, it's not. And look, they may even believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but if they don't believe in the right salvation, then you know there's differences of doctrine there. Yeah. Okay, so we need to make sure that we never fall into this trap, this fake peace. And look, there's a lot of churches that are doing this now, right? You know, speaking of ecumenicism, I'll tell you what ecumenicism is. Rick Warren is ecumenicism. Yeah. With his Chrislam, where he's trying to do like a hybrid between Christianity and Islam. That's ecumenicism. It's like, well, let's just get the best of both worlds and just stick them together. That's garbage. Because right. We need peace. No, we can have peace when we do things God's way. When we listen to God. Well, but there's a lot of people that don't agree with God. Well, that's too bad then. Because God is the boss and he makes the rules. Amen. And if you don't like it, take a hike. Right. No offense, brother Hike. Luke 12:51 says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. So funny. Lancaster Baptist Church, they put out this book, right? And it's by R.B. Ouellette, and it's literally called Unnecessary Division. Well, here he says that he comes to bring division. It's like, oh, this is just unnecessary division. No, division is necessary. You need to divide the intestines from the kidneys in order for your food not to get poisoned. You need to divide the sheep between the goats. You need to divide the false doctrine from the right doctrine because we need to know where we stand. Oh, we just kind of like to mix everything up a little bit. Just get a smorgasbord of false doctrine and let everyone just be happy. That's not the way it works. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. When I would first read this, I would think like they're literally fighting or something. It's like, you know, the father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. So the peace that the world offers requires for you to get along with all religions, okay? You know, that's, by the way, that happens during the time of Christmas. Let's just put our differences aside, you know? My wife is telling me that right now that the popular thing is to say, happy everything. Before, you know, we used to say, by the way, I still say Merry Christmas, amen? Amen. And sometimes I just say Merry Christmas. That's what it says. And then people, you know, now they're saying Happy Holidays. And now it's going into Happy Everything. Let's just appease the Christian, the Christ-rejecting Jews, the Muslims, the Kwanzaa people. Let's just Happy Everything. Because we want peace. That's garbage. I don't believe in Hanukkah, that Christ-rejecting religion, with their Star of Remphan crap. Get that out of here.
Yeah. Amen.
trying to infiltrate Christianity and pervert Jesus Christ and his birth.
Yeah.
You know, Kwanzaa, some communist dude who made that. Garbage. You know, Dia de los Reyes in Spanish. That's garbage too. They celebrate that in January. Well, they literally focus on the kings because they're the ones who brought the gifts. Okay. Santa Claus? Don't even get me started on Santa Claus. That wicked, fat, gluttonous man who literally perverts the way of salvation. I preached on that last year, but he perverts the way of salvation. Why? Because you have to be good to get a gift. You know, you can't be naughty. It's funny, he calls it a gift, but you have to be good for it. He fits right in with the Calvinists, right? Well, it's a gift. But, you know, if you don't get a gift, it's because, well, it doesn't mean you know, it just means that, you know, you just weren't good, okay? Yeah, it works, right? Is that what you're saying? It works? No, it's not works. But, you know, faith always works. Santa Claus, or how about fag on a shelf? I'm sorry, elf on a shelf. Sorry. The little queer-looking transvestite doll that they put, it's an idol. And look, we laugh at that stuff, but some people take that serious. They literally put that for like 30 days in their household, and they talk to it. They like worship it. They're like, you know, what are you going to do now? And all, it's just like, these idols are dumb. They're blind. They can't do anything, but yet they pray to that stuff. And you think God's looking at it like, oh, you guys are so silly. God's mad at that.
Amen.
That ticks God off. That's idolatry. Oh, but they're so peaceful doing it. It's a superficial peace.
Right.
It's not right. It's fake. It's satanic. Anyways, look what it says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Look, we want real peace. We got to come out from among them. You know, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And look, this is important during the Christmas season, that you don't just lower your standards, you lower your guard, you start hanging out with your faggot family members. Well, it's Christmas, you know? Yeah, it's, you know, yeah, Christmas, the one that they hate. You know, the Jesus they rejected and they hate. Yeah, that's, you're right. So you're going to hang out with this Christ-hating faggot. It's not right.
Right.
You know, we made a decision long ago. And I told my wife, we're not going to any social event with my family or with your family if there's fags in your family and fags in my family coming to it. Okay? Because I got fags in my family. She's got fags in hers. You know? And both of our families, no, don't invite Bruce and Sarah if you know, fags coming over. Uncle Fags, if Uncle Fags coming over, and look, they don't even have him over anymore. Because they appreciate our relationship more than that homo.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes with my family. You know, they don't have Cousin Dyke come over either. Because they know that Bruce doesn't like Cousin Dyke. Bruce hates Cousin Dyke. Be separate. Don't put your guard down. Don't make, you know, don't tolerate it. Don't say, well, you know, you're making an excuse. You know, it's Christmas. And, you know, all the more reason. If you're going to be separated, all the more reason to do it on Christmas.
Good.
Celebrating the birth of Christ. Right? You know, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? It says, wherefore, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Okay? And look, I'm not saying if you have some unsaved family member that comes to your house, and maybe they're involved in fornication, or they're drunkards, and they come, you invite them over, you know, win them to the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Your greatest desire should be, I want this person to get saved. Okay? I want them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I hope that when they come to my house, I have their gift ready for them. They can see. And by the way, we want to be a testimony to them, don't we? We want to be a testimony to say, wow, Christians actually seem to have fun during Christmas without beer, without getting drunk, without having the worldly music, without doing all the worldly things. They seem to have a good time, and we do.
Yep.
We're going to have a good time tonight. I don't see an ounce of liquor back there. There's no cocaine or weed back there. Okay? Well, the sugar's... Let me just get off that for now. Go to 2 John. 2 John. So the world, hey, there is no peace on earth to the wicked. They can have this superficial peace for a month. Hey, we have it 12 months out of the year. Okay? And it's not based upon us coexisting with other religions. It's based upon obedience to God and His Word. It's based upon keeping sin out of our life. If we want true peace, you need to make sure that you repent of your sin. Do you get right with God? Amen? Do you love His Word? Are you winning people to Christ? You get peace God's way, not the world's way. The second condition that they have, you have to tolerate anti-Christ rhetoric and practices. And what am I talking about? Well, as of recently, I don't have Netflix, and don't tell me if you do, but they came out with this blasphemous movie about Jesus Christ being a faggot. Oh, yeah. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. This blasphemous, wicked movie, which was made in Brazil, by the way. Okay. Sorry, guys. Get him! it was made in Brazil. And the story goes that basically Jesus Christ comes home to Mary and Joseph for his birthday, and he comes home with his friend. And everyone's like, man, is Jesus gay or something? Has he gone that route? And his buddy's just as queer as the day is long. And it's just a blasphemous, wicked movie. I didn't see it. I heard about it. I read about it. And I just thought to myself, and they brought it out during this time. And look, people who are not even Christian were offended at that. They're like, what's wrong with you guys? You know? Well, what it is that they want us to tolerate. You know, is it any coincidence that they bring it out during Christmas? They want to make a mockery of, you know, they get mad at us when we make a mockery of fags. Well, how about that, faggot?
Yes, right.
When you make a mockery of my Savior like that by calling him a homo and trying to make him seem. And by the way, the guy who's on there looked like a homo. He probably is a homo. Yeah. He looked like Caesar Borgia. Yep. We don't tolerate that nonsense. Well, I just like to take a neutral position. I don't really like to rock the boat. We rock the boat till it flips over and everyone drowns. Amen?
Amen?
Why? Because we should not tolerate when the world begins to mock our Savior. And we honestly say, well, you know, just, you know, forgive them for they know not what they do. No, people like that know what they're doing. Look what the Bible says in 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds, the Bible says. You know, we need to make sure that people often will look at people like us and say, man, you guys are a little overboard though. You know, I can understand that movie with Jesus. Yeah, that's pretty bad. But do you really need to use the language that you use? You're lucky that's all I'm using.
Amen.
Because you deserve worse.
Amen.
That's how pissed off we should get about these things. And if you don't get mad about these things, then you got a heart problem. Then you have a sympathy for the world that God does not want you to have.
Yep.
Probably means that you like the peace of this world a little bit. You want a piece of this world is what it is. Because the Bible says that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Right.
What does that mean? It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It means that you have no love for God. Because
yeah.
If you're loving the world, you're defending the world, you want the world's peace, you want a piece of the world, then the love of the Father is not in you.
Yeah.
You're lacking love for God.
Good.
Go to Romans chapter number 5. And look, we're for peace. We are for peace. We try to reconcile people back to Christ every week. The Bible even commands us when it comes to other Christians, as much as we possibly can, to live peaceably with one another, right? Amongst church members, amongst other churches, we try to be peacemakers. But you know what the Bible tells us? I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. So look, you can't please everyone and be right with God. You can't propagate and promote God's ways without getting someone wanting to make war with you. That's just the way it is. Here's the third thing. So we're talking about peace. You know, there is no peace on earth to the wicked. There's peace for us. Amen. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Amen. We partook of that goodwill. We are partaking of that peace. We have peace with God. But there's a peace out there that's not of God, and there is no peace to the wicked. You know, and by the way, when I talk about peace to the wicked, obviously that's the wicked could be a very general label because of the fact that people who are unsaved can be wicked and not be reprobates. They're just living a wicked lifestyle. You know, they just grew up that way. But you know what? They don't have peace. They have the peace that the world has to offer to them. So what's another condition in order to have the world's peace? Inner peace. You know, the Zen-like inner peace, Buddha meditation type nonsense that they offer. You need to, like, just be one with yourself and get yourself into a state of nothingness. This Jedi peace, right? What they're really doing is they're trying to mute their God-given conscience of what's right and what's wrong. Because what they're basically saying is, you know, people are living with guilt because they're involved in sin. They're living with guilt because things that they're doing that are not pleasing to God. And how are they trying to take care of it? Well, they're trying to block out their conscience that's telling them this is wrong. So what is the inner peace? It's the mute button on their conscience is what it is. It's like, I need to get to a state where I'm not condemning myself for these sins that I'm doing. You know what I mean? This is the inner peace. This is not the kind of peace that we should be seeking out. Okay? We need to be, look, by the way, obviously we're reconciled to God. Look what the Bible says in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Obviously, we have peace with God when we get saved, but you know what? We need to continuously have peace with God, even thereafter. Not for salvation, but just to have his blessing, to be right with God. There's Christians out there who are backslidden as the day is long. They're involved in vice, in drunkenness, in sin, in fornication, in adultery. They're destroying their lives. They're saved, but they don't have the peace of God. You know, they're just out there in the world, and they know they're doing wrong. They're miserable as the day is long. They lie to your face when they say that they're doing okay. They're doing great. It's not true. They're not peaceful. They know they're not because they know they're not right with God. And look, when you're a Christian and you backslide, you get away from God, I'll say this. Yes, you will get convicted. You will be bothered. You know why? Because there's someone who resides within you called the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. You know what that means? Is that when he's in there and you're doing things that are displeasing God, you're grieving him. And you feel that grief. You know you're doing wrong. You know you're not living right. Okay, so how do we get that peace? We confess our sins. We get right with God. And look, obviously it's not a physical thing that you feel, but if you've ever been backslidden and you come back to the Lord, you repent and you get right with God, it feels like a load just came off your shoulders. Where you're like, I can breathe. I'm right with God. I know God loves me. You know, I'm back into the fold. I'm back in the blessings of God. That's the kind of peace that we're talking about, you know. And by the way, that person, they might have screwed up their life greatly. But you know what? The peace of God that passeth understanding is so great that the ramifications of their sin is just very small in comparison to the forgiveness of God. Where they're like, you know, I screwed up my life, but you know what? I'm thankful that God welcomed me back into his fold. I'm right with God. I know that God's hand is on me. I have brothers and sisters who love me and care for me. I got my church. The Christian life becomes exciting again. Even in the midst of, you know, the fact that they probably screwed up their life. But this is how important and essential the peace of God after salvation is. Okay? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But you know, it doesn't stop there. You know, we get peace with God when we get saved. We get peace with God when we confess our sins on a daily basis. We stay right with God as much as we can, as much as we know that we can. But then, you know, there's a sense of involvement that you have to have in your life in order to have another level of peace. Because look, within every Christian, if they start reading their Bibles, they start coming to church, there's a desire within them to serve, right? There's a desire to say, I want to serve God. You know, we use that a lot, right? We use that term, that phrase, I want to serve God. What does that mean? What does it mean to serve God? It means we do what he tells us to do. When he tells us, hey, I want you to go and do this, and we do it, that means we're serving God. Okay? You know, God tells you to submit unto your husband. You know what you're doing when you submit to your husband? You're serving God. Because you're doing what God tells you to do. When God tells men, hey, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, you know what you're doing? You're serving God. When you obey that commandment. Children, when you obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, you're serving God, because that is a commandment that God has given to you, and if you obey him, you're serving your Lord. But what's another capacity? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, by the way, just keep in mind that the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians is questioning the salvation of the Corinthians, right? Chapter 13, he says, man, you guys might be reprobates. Well, he kind of does says something like that here in verse 20. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But I want you to notice he says that God hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We call that soul winning. Hey, you know, instead of chasing the almighty dollar and setting these goals to be rich, setting these goals to accumulate possessions, why don't you set your affections on things above by soul winning? Make it your goal for 2020 to be a soul winner, to win people to Christ. Why don't you partake in the ministry of peace? Be a peacemaker, amen? Sometimes that's an element that sometimes lacks in a Christian sometimes, you know, where they're just like, well, you know, I'm saved. I know I'm right with God, but there's still something missing. Yeah, it's called serving the Lord. You know, you ever feel that void where you feel like, man, I want to be used by God. I want God to use me to make a difference for eternity. Well, it's called soul winning, okay? And you can start right here in your local New Testament church where you'll get sent out, partner up with someone. And look, no one is exempt from this, okay? We don't force people to go soul winning, by the way. It's not like lock the doors, you know? It's your choice. But you know what? Any person in here who doesn't want to go soul winning, you're not going to slow us down. And you know what? I'm not going to stop talking about soul winning. I'm not going to stop emphasizing it. So sooner or later, you better catch up. You better get on board. You better get on board, get with the program, be a team player, and start doing some preaching of the gospel. And look, if you're in our church for any length of time, you will eventually catch the fire. Either you'll eventually catch it, or you just become hardened, stubborn, and, you know, you'll backslide eventually, probably, because of the fact that you know that this is what you should be doing, but you're not doing it. And by the way, let me remind you, he that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Right. You know, partake in the ministry of reconciliation. Go to Belize. Amen. Amen? Go to, if you can. Right. Oh, man, I got to go. No, if you can. Okay? My wife's not going to Belize. She can't go to Belize. But, you know, obviously there's people who are in a certain season of life that can't go. But you know what? Some can go. Okay? Go to Belize. It'll reinvigorate your desire to preach the gospel, to see people saved. And you'll have the peace of knowing, man, not only am I right with God, I'm serving God. Like, I'm one of God's servants. God is using me to reconcile people back unto him. I'm part of this big plan going on right here. I'm part of the ministry of reconciliation. And I'm telling you, it'll take you to another level of Christianity.
Right.
You know, what the world says, well, no, you want peace. You got to hang out with the worldly people, be accepted by the world. You got to be accepted by your worldly cousins and brothers and sisters. You got to be cool with them. They got to think that you're like some cool person. Forget all that. That's poppycock. I want to be cool to God. In fact, no, I don't want to be cool to God. I want to be on fire for God.
Amen.
Amen? I want to be on fire for God. I want the praise of God more than the praise of men.
Amen.
Okay? The Bible tells us that the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. Go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." The Bible says in Psalm 119, I quoted it earlier, 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." We need to get back to going God's route to get peace. Loving the Bible. Hey, you want to clear your conscience? Read the Bible. Okay? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, the Bible says. Where did I have you turn? Proverbs 3. Look at verse number 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Amen. He says, look, if you keep my law, you love my word, you keep my commandments, you're going to live long and you're going to have peace added unto you. Don't get the peace of this world. Get the peace only God has to offer. Where he says it comes when you read my word and you love the law of the Lord. Here's the last scriptures. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. The world says, hey, in order to have peace, coexist with other religions. The world says, you want peace, tolerate other religions, tolerate other belief systems. You know, the world tells us also that we get peace by amassing wealth and possessions, right? I mean, that's what the Christmas season is all about, according to them. Buy this, this is on sale, Christmas special here. But wait, look at that same item. After Christmas, it's like the exact same price. Like 5% off or something. Just because they say Christmas. By the way, they're telling you the truth. It's a Christmas sale. You know what that means? They're selling it on Christmas. People are like, oh, it's a discount. But they want you to amass wealth and possessions because they're trying to get you to think you'll be happy if you have these things. You'll be happy if you have these possessions, these type of clothes, this Xbox, PlayStation, TV, whatever. This is not true. Hey, you'll be happy if you have this amount of money. In fact, how many know who Dave Ramsey is? Okay. Pull up the book. He literally has this curriculum called this. It's called FPU. Financial Peace University. It's for Christians. Now, if you have that, don't tell me. I didn't find out. Your wife didn't tell me. Your husband didn't tell me. My wife actually told me about this because I was talking about, I was like, you know, people are trying to get peace through like accumulating money and they want to store up, you know, tear down barns and build greater, store their goods in. And they think happiness comes from just having a lot of money. You know, and then she, I was like, they think that peace comes from that. And then she told me about this. She goes, Dave Ramsey actually has, or I think I told her, I was like, you know, Dave Ramsey is one of those guys who like promotes that to Christians. And she goes, yeah, he actually has something called FPU, Financial Peace University. But you know what? The Bible doesn't even talk about financial peace at all. Now look, guys, I know that some of you probably benefited from the book. You probably read it and you're like, oh man, you know, he helped me get out of debt. Okay. He helped me raise $1,000, you know, the little baby steps and all that. You know, I know. I've read the book. I had to read the book, okay? When I was courting my wife, that was one of the requirements, is you have to read this book. I was like, what? Seriously? But I don't remember this part, but he literally has this, the Financial Peace University, which is like, if you want peace of mind, You know, you got to learn how to accumulate money and save up for a rainy day. The emergency fund. You know, save up $50,000 for an emergency fund. Good night. Save up $100,000 for an emergency fund. And look, I'm not against you saving up that amount of money if you have a plan for it. But if it's just like you just want to accumulate finances, and by the way, and if that's where your peace is located at, wrong peace. The Bible doesn't say, talk about financial peace. I just need financial peace. No, you need God's peace is what you need. Let your moderation be known to all men, the Bible says. And if we want that peace of God, we need to pray, we need to supplicate, we need to thank God, and we need to ask him for the things that we need. And you know what the Bible says? He gives us peace. He doesn't give us the possessions that we want. He says he gives us peace. And look, folks, what we need is not more money. Sometimes what we need is more contentment. Just be happy with what you have. Right? People giving me the dirty looks here. I think I'm going to spend a little more time on this point now. Amen. This is good. Financial, did you go to Financial Peace University? Drop out of Financial Peace University today. Look, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, the Bible says. How do you do that? Well, you take the monetary gain of today, you invest it in eternal things, and you'll get those treasures in heaven. Amen. Don't be like the guy who's tearing down barns and building up greater to store his finances in, and then what happened when he died? You know, his wife's next husband got it. That's what happened. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Right. Let that sink in. This is what God said. Look, you want gains? You want great gain? You need godliness and you need contentment. Why? Because if you're godly, that means your heart is in the right place. Right? It means God's pleased with you. You're focusing on that which is most important. You're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things shall be added unto you. And if you're content, guess what? You're always happy with whatever you get. Because when you're content with something, that means you're already happy. And so if God gives you a little more, you know what happens? You're like, wow, this is great. I wasn't expecting this. People who are not content expect it. They want more. You know, that's why it's hard to please little kids sometimes. Children, it's hard to, you know, we got to teach them contentment. Right? It doesn't come naturally to them. You know, you try to like be a blessing to your kids and you want to make them happy and you give them certain things and they're just like, I want more. Give me another one. I want to stay for another hour. I want to do this more and more. And you're just like, you should have just said thank you. Now you're getting a spanking. And then they get a bad attitude and it's just like they have to learn, you know. But you know, adults are like that too. We need to learn godliness with contentment. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, food and raiment. Good food. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Yeah, how does that peace of this world work? How's that working out for you? You know, those who have Financial Peace University, they can't even sleep because of the fact they have so many expensive possessions, they're afraid that other people might steal them. You know, they have the huge expensive vehicle or the Bentley or whatever, I don't know, what the Maserati or Bugatti or whatever, and they have to put all kinds of cameras outside to make sure no one steals it, make sure that it's being taken care of. And they can't sleep. I sleep fine because... if someone steals my van, and they did, they're going to bring it back fixed. Like, this poor soul. Let's fix this for him, you know? So, I'm done because I'm out of time. What am I saying? What I'm basically saying is this, is that just make sure that during the Christmas season, which it's obviously coming to an end, but it's, you know, climaxing these next couple days, that you make sure you seek the peace of God. You know what I mean? And don't be consumed by covetousness and envy and possessions and wealth and riches and trying to just impress the Joneses when the Joneses don't even like you. You know, why don't you seek the peace of God? Why don't you seek the peace that comes when you're right with God? You keep sin out of your life. You're reading the Word of God. You're winning souls to Christ. You know, you have peace with your children. You have peace with your wife. Those are great gifts. Amen? When you can say, hey, me and my family, we get along. My children are obeying me. Hey, my children love me. I love my wife. My wife loves me. That's great. You say, well, I don't have that. Well, you know what? You have a church where people love you. You have a church where people love you. And look, if no one loves you here, well, guess what? God loves you, okay? Someone loves you, okay? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. What I'm saying is this. Don't forfeit these peace, the peace that God gives with the peace that the world is trying to offer. Because the peace that the world is trying to offer comes with consequences, amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I pray that during this time we would reflect more. And obviously, reflection is something that we should always be doing throughout the year, whether in our prayer time when we're reading the Bible. But during this time, we think upon it so much the more because of the fact that we think upon the birth of Christ. And I pray that we would not be fooled and bamboozled into accepting the peace of this world. And the peace of this world is a farce. It's not real. It's fake. It's superficial. And thank you for your word that exposes that, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help us even during this time, these next couple days, to think upon your goodness and count our blessings is what we need to do. We just need to count all the blessings, and that would create within us a heart of gratitude. And may you be honored and glorified in all that we do. Bless the fellowship after this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.